Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. I'm very pleased to say we're joined by another distinguished member of the House of Representatives, Congressman Lee Zeldin. He is a freshman member, but has already made his mark, I think in part thanks to his service in uniform as well as a military intelligence officer. He's also served as a federal prosecutor and military magistrate, a member of the 82nd Airborne Division, as a matter of fact, a very distinguished record indeed before coming to the United States House of Representatives, where he now serves on its Foreign Affairs Committee, its Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, and also Veterans Affairs Committees. Congressman Lee Zeldin, welcome back. It's good to have you with us, sir.
It's good to be back on. Thanks for having me.
We've been talking about a couple of issues with your colleague, Congressman Pompeo, and I'd love to get your take on them because you've been working in these vineyards as well, and I think quite successfully. So let's start with Iran. There is, as you know, a history here. You were among those in the Foreign Affairs Committee who took testimony from the administration about what the deal involved with Iran and what it didn't involve, and certain assurances were provided. I'm wondering how you think this is looking at this stage, and in particular, the possibility the administration is poised to make still more concessions, specifically with access to dollars.
Well, this has really not looked good at any point for almost a year now. For about a year, when the Obama administration started really blowing through a lot of their red lines of the talks, from that point forward, it was very downhill. And when you talk to someone who might defend the deal, and they might talk about the uranium that they will say has left Iran, you know, if you want a great follow-up question, ask them, where's the uranium? They have no clue.
Or even all how much.
Yeah. They have no idea. All they know is that the IAEA says that it left where it was, but that's the end of it. No idea where it actually went. We recently, just a few weeks back, in the Foreign Affairs Committee, had Secretary Kerry in front of the committee, and in my most recent questioning, the first question to him at the hearing last summer, but the one from a few weeks ago, not only does he admit that it's not a treaty, which we accomplished last summer, he says it's not an executive agreement. He calls it a political commitment. He says it's a political commitment that is unsigned. The Iranians still have not signed it. He also admitted, while he talks about the verification regime as being historic and unprecedented, he still has not read it. So for all of the vouching for this deal, for those who are staunch defenders of this nuclear deal, the fact is you are defending an unsigned political commitment where we gave $100 to $150 billion in exchange for what you still can't even tell me are the actual details. When you're saying the deal is not built on trust, it's built on verification, but you can't tell me what the verification is. There are so many very deep flaws since that point when the administration started really blowing through a lot of their red lines.
You know, this really, from what you've said, Congressman Lee Zeldin, and I think your lines of inquiry have been very instructive, this is national security fraud. I don't know how else to describe it. It is a pig in a poke. They've been betting on the come. They've been hoping against hope. I don't know. But it really comes down to fraud on the American people in terms of what they've been told and what's actually being delivered. Should we now see the administration allowing the Iranians into the international trade system in a way that I think they told you they weren't going to do, the dangers will be compounded, obviously. What are your thoughts on that, and is there anything that Congress can do at this point to prevent it? I think there's bipartisan opposition to what the administration's doing, understandably, but what can be done?
Yeah, there is so much bad activity taking place by the Iranians, and the only way to get them to the table to talk about anything productive with any of the bad activities that must be addressed, the only way to get them to the table is with sanctions relief, is with our leverage, with our ability to maybe make a concession somewhere but get something in return that makes it worth it. The idea of unilaterally giving up any more leverage than we have already without extracting very good, worthwhile concessions on the other side is foolish. Because, I mean, the amount of concessions that we gave for an unsigned political commitment, it's frightening because there's still so much that still needs to be tackled. So would I be supportive of someday allowing the Iranians into more trade activities? I'd be willing to hear you out as far as what we're getting in return. I mean, I'm not going to be foolish about it by not hearing what we're getting out of it. But that's the whole other part of the story, and with that question, that is completely unanswered at this point.
It is indeed, and I don't think the answer is good that we're getting anything at all. Congressman, let me ask you about a related issue. Of course, the president has been involved in a summit the past 2 days on nuclear weapons. And it seems to me that subsequent to our conversation today, we're going to be hearing from him, and I'm sure he'll be putting the proverbial lipstick on the pig. But there's a lot of whistling past the graveyard going on in all of this talk about ridding the world of nuclear weapons and, you know, preventing nuclear terrorism and the like, in that we've just seen in this deal the most dangerous regime on the planet, arguably, a regime with whom you can't have a good faith political understanding, let's be honest. Nonetheless, getting access to more and more nuclear capabilities, does there not seem to be a dramatic disconnect here when you look at the proliferation problem or you look at just nuclear terrorism at Iranian hands that's seemingly at work in this so-called nuclear summit?
The reality, which has to be the basis of our decision-making on this front, is that as you look through specific countries as well as particular regions of the world and what reality looks like, the fact is, because of the Iran nuclear deal, the reality is that Egypt and the UAE, Saudi Arabia, multiple countries within that region are forced to ramp up their nuclear activity. The Iran nuclear deal actually paves the path for Iran being able to get a nuclear weapon a decade from now. So it's, you know,
at the very best.
Yeah. Yeah, well, right. To the Obama administration, I mean, when President Obama, when he was interviewed, I believe it maybe was an NPR interview, but when he was interviewed about this months ago, I mean, he was talking about 12 years, 13 down years, years down the road, that they would be in that position. That's out of the president's mouth, and he's the one who, you know, is most responsible for creating this deal. So, you know, having talks about, you know, with other countries as far as, you know, the future of nuclear development and activity within all these countries, having conversations, I mean, that will always take place. To some extent, between countries, there will always be a conversation taking place. But what I don't want to see is us be foolish. And, you know, fortunately, this administration is in its last year, and it's up to the American people to decide who's going to take the reins of this conversation in January of 2017, because there's a huge difference between the five candidates still who have their names on the ballot in this race. There's a huge difference of where they will take this conversation. But as far as there being one now, you know, I don't have a problem with there being, talks. But what concerns me most is just that what we've seen in 2015 as it relates to Iran, and the reality that you're not going to be able to talk Saudi Arabia, United States for sure, is not going to be able to talk Saudi Arabia, UAE, Egypt, and others out of ramping up their own programs.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's right, and that will make for a more dangerous world still, I fear. Congressman Lee Zeldin of the 1st District of New York, thank you very much for joining us as always and for your efforts on the Foreign Affairs Committee and elsewhere in the Congress to try to shed light on these various challenges and bring some sense to our response to them. Keep up that good work, my friend. Come back to us if you would very soon. Next up, Steve Cook will talk with us about criminal justice reform and the crime wave it's likely to inspire. That and more straight ahead.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.